Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I was kind of struggling to prepare, and I was asking the Lord. I said, okay, God, obviously this was something that you foresaw. I didn't. But the Lord, church, led me to minister on this word that I've titled Goodness in this season. And I'm sure that many of you would agree, church, right now, that our nation, our families, our churches, and our general way of life, our general way of living right now, before this whole pandemic, wasn't exactly trending upward. Does that make sense? That means that I believe that the heart of the church had gotten cold. The heart of the church had slowly kind of fallen asleep. And back in March, I've mentioned this to you before, you know, back in March, I believe that there was a tremendous awakening of our spirits, amen? There was a tremendous awakening of our hearts back towards the Lord, because the unknown tends to bring you back to your knees in front of God, amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get a bad doctor's report, or you get something, you know, that happens in your life that is completely blindsides you, and it causes you to quickly, you know, I pray that it causes you to quickly, you know, bow your knee before the Lord and pray over the situation and say, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that you hold tomorrow. Amen? Amen. And so I was just kind of reminded of this, and I was reminded that, you know, church, we are living in a time where there is, the enemy is absolutely just running rampant. That's probably, you know, not describing it well enough. But I believe you all know what I'm talking about, amen? And we've seen in our culture, we've seen in our society, we've seen in our world how much the enemy is trying to destroy not only our nation, our cities, our communities, but God's people as well. And if God's people are not prepared in their hearts, if they are not ready and they're steady in their spirit, they too could be consumed by everything that the enemy is throwing their way. Amen? But I shared something with you just a second ago, and I said, you know, I know that God is doing good things in this season. Amen? I know that the Lord is. Despite what the news might tell you, because guess what? It's not good news. Amen? It's just not good news, man. I implore you, church, I'll say it again, and then I promise I'll stop beating that subject, but shut off the news. There's a difference between being aware and being overcome by fear. You can be aware of something, but you can also not pay it attention. Because what it is actually feeding you will shift your worldview, it will shift your heart, it will shift everything about you if you're not careful. The Bible says that we are supposed to guard our hearts. The Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, many of you know the verse. It says what? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Amen? And he will direct thy paths. But it talks about something that is so specific. It says, but do not lean on your own understanding. Leaning on your own understanding and leaning on yourself will get you in trouble in the middle of a spiritual battle. Amen? But I'm here to report good news, because I believe God is doing something powerful in the earth right now. God is doing something powerful amongst his people. I believe that this whole, you know, COVID period has not only been for a separation of sorts, a going back to our prayer closet of sorts, but I believe it's been consecrating the church. I believe it's been a season of preparation. Amen? I believe that the Lord has been doing something in us for a particular reason. And I'm going to get to that point in just a second. And I have no idea how long I'm going to preach to you this morning, but here goes nothing. Amen? All right. If you have your Bible, open up to Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2 and verse 13. The version I'm reading from is going to probably read maybe a little bit different. I'm not too sure. But I think they might have the same translation that I'm reading. But it says this. It says, can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? It says, the early signs of my purposes and my plans are bursting forth. It says, the budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere, and the fragrance of their flowers whispers there is change in the air. It says, so arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place, for now is the time to arise and to come away with me. Now, if you have ever read the book of Song of Solomon, and you've ever read these verses, you'll understand that it's the picture of a bride talking to a bridegroom, or a groom to a bride. And for those of you that are married, if I can take you back just a few years to maybe when that started or when that happened in your life. But for those of you that are married, you understand that there was probably a ton of preparation that went into you and your spouse getting married. Yes? Raise your hand if that's true for you. None of y'all. Okay, all right. Are y'all married? Maybe I'll just perform a wedding ceremony today. I'm certified to marry and bury. All right, now that I got your attention, let's keep going. So for those of you that have, that got married, I remember my wife and I were engaged almost, we dated almost 9 years, and then we were engaged almost a period of an entire year before we actually, you know, got married. And during that entire year, my wife was running rampant, picking colors and picking flowers and choosing the venue and you know, preparing all this stuff. I only made one decision because it was the most important decision. Ladies, you should know this. How many of you know that the quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach? So the only decision I had to make for the wedding was to pick the food that we were going to eat in our wedding reception. I have good taste, so she trusted me to do that. Everything else was up to her. But she spent almost a year's time preparing for a lifetime union. Now, that's a microcosm in time when it comes to us thinking about our time here on earth and our eternity in heaven. Amen? The Lord is looking for people church, that are preparing for a wedding and not preparing for a funeral. The time that we have here, church, is because we are the bridegroom and we are preparing ourselves for the bride that is Jesus. Amen. In this scripture that we read, I believe the Holy Spirit is all over it because He's saying these words to you. Listen to the Lord. He's saying, arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place, for now is the time to arise and to come away with me. You see, church, you can be looking at this season in one of two ways. You can look at this season as a season of preparation, or you can look at this season as a season of panic. Some people right now are preparing for the end of the world. They're stockpiling groceries and they're stockpiling their finances and they're hoarding and they're holding on to every single thing they can because they're preparing for the end of the world. They're holding on to the world and they don't want to let go. When the scripture and the Spirit of God has spoken to us that we're not supposed to be friends and lovers of this world. This is not our final resting place. This is not where it ends for a believer. This is just the beginning of an eternity with Jesus. Amen? This is just the beginning. But I believe, church, that the Lord has called us in this season to prepare our hearts. Can somebody say amen? Amen. This is a season of preparation. You see, sometimes the Lord has to allow you to be stirred in such a way that you realize that, hold on a second, if you were doing it before, if you were living life before without Jesus... Acts, there's a scripture in the book of Acts that says this, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. You see, that means that He's everything and that He's all or He's nothing at all. If you're living and you're moving and you're having your being in Jesus, that means that you fully exist inside of Him. But in the book of John chapter 15, the scripture teaches me that the Bible says, it says, remain in him and he will remain in you. He says, for what? Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from him, church, we can do absolutely nothing. And so this is a season of preparation. The time that you have on this earth, which is very short in comparison to eternity, amen? It's incredibly short. 40, 50, 60 years of life, 70 years of life, 80, 90 years of life, if you live that long, is still not even a twinkle in the eye of what eternity looks like. And so, church, I believe that the Holy Spirit is stirring us to come back to this place of preparation. How many of you remember the story of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins? You remember, church, that it was a season of preparation. And the ones that got locked out on that day, when the groom came to receive them, when the groom finally showed up to knock on the door, the ones that weren't ready, the ones that had not prepared their lampstand with oil, the ones who were not thinking about his return, were the ones that were locked outside. You see, church, I believe that the Spirit of God, I believe that the Lord is coming back for a people who long for his appearing. It's a fact that he's coming back, amen? It's an absolutely sure thing. But see, the difference between people that are their heart is just like the bridegroom that's preparing themselves and getting ready for that return. They're ready at any moment. And so this season is actually one of preparation. It's one of joy. It's one of peace. But the people right now that have not prepared their hearts, they're the ones that are panicking. They're living in fear. They're saying, oh my God, I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know, you know, what tomorrow holds. And they're trying to answer all of these questions that they cannot answer. Jesus said in the scripture, in Matthew chapter 6, he said this. He said, for what do you profit or what do you gain by what worrying about tomorrow? There's nothing that it adds to your life. It adds absolutely nothing when you are worrying about tomorrow. And so the reason the Lord mentioned this was because his point was this, was he was saying, hey, listen, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all of these things will be added to you. We sing a song right now, church, that I believe is incredibly important that says, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. Church, we are supposed to be kingdom-minded people, not worldly-minded people. We're supposed to have our hearts in preparation because at any moment, church, the eastern sky is going to split and the Lord is going to resurrect us. The Lord is going to take us up to be with him forever. Amen? But if you're not waiting for his appearing, then you might get caught off guard. The Bible says that when the Lord comes, there's going to be two that are working in the field, and that one's going to just be gone, and the other one's going to keep working, and he's not going to know what happened. Why? Because his heart was focused on the things of the world, and his heart wasn't ready for what God was going to do. Does this make sense this morning? Okay, cool. Men and women, they prepare completely different for a wedding. I'll explain the difference really quickly. Men, I believe, are ready for the honeymoon, and women are ready for the wedding. And there's a difference in thinking because there's a difference the way that God has wired men and the way that God has wired women. Women will love the finest details of the flowers on in the arrangement on the table and the tablecloth that they put on the table and the beads and the colors and all that kind of stuff. It's something that they adore to do. It's something that they love to do. Whereas men are just focused on something else. But if you ask a man to prepare for a storm, a man will have a completely different reaction than a woman. A man's going to tell his wife, he's going to say, hey, I got to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. I got to go buy some plywood. I got to go buy some screws and nails to board up the house. I got to buy some sandbags to put them around my house because they prepare for things differently. And when Jesus called us the bridegroom, he's actually joining together men and women. And he's saying this. He's saying, listen, you both need to prepare for this thing. You might prepare for it differently, but you both need to prepare your heart because I am coming. And when I come, and the Bible says, and he will not delay. He is going to come, church, in such a swift manner that he's going to take us to be with him forever. And so though we prepare for things differently, though we get our lives, together in a different way, the Lord is still imploring us, church, to use this season as a season of preparation. I can give you an honest testimony for those of you that remember just a few months ago we had a hurricane, remember? And it was very devastating for some people. It was very trying. My mom's house flooded. And it was a challenge because it was something that, they weren't necessarily desiring or preparing for. My power went out for, I think, 4 days. And I can tell you that I got caught off guard because I didn't expect it to hit the way that it hit. They told us on the news that there was going to be 45 to 50 mile an hour winds. Wrong. Hit like 90. Felt like part of my house was going to blow off or something. But I got caught, church, not having power because I hadn't bought a generator. I hadn't prepared for that. You see, preparation is so important. Because you cannot be ready for something that you have not prepared for. But we have to think and we have to use wisdom in this season, church, to prepare our hearts. To say, hey, listen, I don't know when he's going to come. Because I guarantee if you all knew that tomorrow was the day, worship probably wouldn't have stopped right now. You would have been like, oh, Jesus. You get your heart ready and you forgive everybody that sinned against you and all those kinds of things because you're getting ready to receive Jesus. But see, you don't know if it's tomorrow. In fact, you don't know if it's 10 seconds from now. What's the lesson? Have your heart ready. Have your heart ready, church. Amen. Have your heart ready. There's something beautiful that happens when you have private time with the Lord, and that is this, is that it prepares you for public anointing. When you get away in your prayer closet, when you bow your knee before the Lord, when no one else is looking, when no one else is listening, it's actually preparing you for a public anointing. God is preparing you to use you, church. He's preparing you in those moments so that he can flow through your life and so that you can be a blessing to somebody. Amen. But without a private time, a private relationship with God, there is no public anointing. There is no public presence of God in the earth. You see, if every Christian does not pray, if every Christian does not worship, if every Christian does not read the word, if every Christian doesn't act on the word, then the realm of darkness begins to move and invade places where it was never allowed to be. Like in the church. But when the Christians who have heard the word and they have applied James chapter 1 that says, do not merely listen to the word, but do the word as well, then we see light. And light always repels darkness. And so when the Lord gives you a public anointing, it's not intended to make you great in the eyes of the world, but rather to make the world see the greatness of our God that lives inside of you. Amen? Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many of you know that we do not have the capacity in ourselves to save somebody as far as salvation goes? Amen? We don't carry that, but we carry the Spirit of the one who saves. Amen? Amen? And so it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, because in us, we don't have the ability, but the Holy Spirit does. Amen? And it says, we do not do what we ought to pray for, but it says, but the Spirit himself, it says, intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. And it says, and who have been called according to his purpose. And so as you seek the Lord personally, as you seek him privately, even in a corporate setting like this with your peers, I believe several things will happen. And I want to get to those quickly this morning. I only have a few minutes left. Number one is this. I believe that when we are locked into the presence of the Lord, when we are fashioning ourselves and we're preparing our hearts before God, I believe, you know, it will reveal the goodness of God back into this world. And this starts with personal revival. It starts with you and I saying, listen, Lord, if I have gotten stagnant, if I have gotten lazy, how many of you like to admit when you've become lazy? No, you don't like to admit it. Sometimes I made the unfortunate mistake. How many of you have a two-story home? Anyone have a two-story home? Yes? No? Okay, a few of you. I made the unfortunate mistake of buying a two-story home. You want to know why? Because the kitchen's like completely on the bottom and the other side of the house. So I get late night snack cravings, and I know that none of you do because you're good Christians like that. But I get late night snack cravings, and sometimes it's like, man, you know, the kitchen's so far away. Stairs are long, and, you know, I got to go all the way down. I got to walk around. I got to turn on all the lights. And I wish I could just say, you know, Alexa, you know, get me some cookies and milk or something, you know. But I have Layla and Audrey, so they're very good at that as well. But laziness, I was going somewhere with this. Okay, let me finish. Laziness and complacency, church, are an absolute killer to your spirit life. Amen. They're an absolute killer to your spirit life. If you're too lazy to open the word, if you're too lazy to take 5 minutes to pray, how can we expect God to just simply move? Amen. The Bible says, church, that he will be found by those who are earnestly seeking him. Amen. That means it requires a little effort on our end. Amen? Amen. And if this right now, if Sunday morning is the only time that you crack open the word, it's not enough. Amen. Because if I gave you a botana right now and I fed you some food right now and I said, okay, wait till next week to eat your next meal, some of you go, hey, man, you're crazy. And it's the same thing in the spirit. Amen. 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 It's the same thing in the spirit, church. Speaking of which, I better wrap this up because I want to order a botana. Personal revival begins with private encounters with the Lord, and it starts with no one else but you and God. It happens, church, when you have taken the time to step up into that moment of solitude and prayer and tarrying. That is waiting on God. That is opening the word and praying until you hear the voice of God. Amen. Until God speaks to your heart in such a powerful way that you know that you've encountered him. Amen. Not just simply from routine to go, well, you know, I read two verses today and that's what I do every day. But no, more than that, church, a pressing in, a yearning for an encounter with the Lord, a yearning for the Spirit of God to move in your life. And so it happens, church, not just because you ask of God in prayer, but rather it's revealed through his presence in your life. The words that the Lord speaks to your heart, the love that he pours into your life, and the grace that he extends to us because we've sought to humble ourselves before him. You see, a people that reveal a hunger and a desire for God humble themselves before God. That means that even though the season could be going good for you, you might say, Pastor Duke, I'm paying all the bills and my family has stayed healthy and all these things are good. It still does not give us the license, church, to not bow our knee before the presence of God and say, Lord, I need you. Amen. When life is good, church, that's when you prepare. Amen. That's when you prepare. That's when you still stay fervent and you still stay on your knees before the Lord saying, God, I need you though. All the bills are paid. The kids are safe. My family's good, God, and I'm grateful for it, Lord, but I still need you. I still need you. I still need you, Jesus. And so, church, personal revival, a stirring of your heart and of your life to say, God, I need, Lord, revived. I need, God, to, Lord, wake up from the slumber. God, I need to wake up, God, from this complacent life, Lord, that I could be living before you. Because, God, I do not want to miss the appointment. I don't want to miss the moment, Jesus, that you return. I don't want to miss the moment. There's a scripture that Paul said to Timothy, and he said this. He said, what business do soldiers have with civilian affairs? What business do they have? He said, no, they're supposed to follow the general. They're supposed to follow the one that is leading them, the commander of the army. Church, I'm here to remind you that you are the army of the Lord and that the Lord is our commander. The world will try to pull you into every which way. But we have a commanding officer that we must please. Amen. We have a commanding officer that we must please. Matthew 6:6 says, so when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. It says, but then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see, there's no reward if you don't do it. There's no reward if you don't apply it. It would be such a sad day for everybody to say, oh man, I'm ready to go to heaven, and they did nothing of what the word said. There's not going to be a reward for those who do not take that time. This is exemplified in the story of David. Before he was anointed as an earthly king, he had spent time with his heavenly king in the wilderness. This looks like Paul and Silas thanking God while they had chains bound to their arms and their legs when they were in the middle of a prison. You see, church, that is a private time with God. They had every reason to complain and be frustrated about their circumstance because they had chains attached to them. But they said, no, not here, not now. We're going to worship the Lord. And it was through their worship, it was through their praise, it was through that secret time with God that those chains broke. Amen? Amen. And church, I'm here to remind you that it is the exact same way in your life. If you want a chain to break off of your life, then you need to bow yourself before the presence of an almighty God. You need to begin to thank him. You need to begin to just worship him. And know, church, that he can break off every single chain. But it doesn't just happen where you're just like, break the chain, Lord. I'm too lazy to pray. Just break it. You said you could break it. I'm done making fun of lazy people. Next. I believe what the Lord does when you worship him and when you glorify him and when you spend time with him is that he restores your family. How many of you need family restoration? Raise your hand if you have a family member that is lost as lost is right now. Raise your hand. Those people that are lost, those people that are dying, those people that are falling by the wayside, those people that have given themselves over to the things of this world. The people that your heart is longing to see come to the feet of Jesus. Those people, church, are the ones that God wants to restore. That was a good time to say amen. Amen. Those people are the ones that God wants to restore. Those are the ones that God's heart is still after. Those are the ones that God is still looking after. But listen, I believe after personal revival comes family restoration. But I have to say this, church, because people are losing lifelong friends and family because of an election. Oh, man, I said it. You're allowing Satan to put wedges in between bloodlines, and you're allowing walls to be built up that God meant to destroy. Amen. Not just through an election, but that's just one little topic. How is the Lord going to restore something when you put a wall in the way? Oh, man, it's going to get good right now. You see, it's okay to let God do what he needs to do in your life because it's going to impact the world of those closest to you. I said, it's okay, church, to allow the Lord to work in your life. It's okay to bow your knee before God in humility and say, you know what, I may have got something wrong. It's okay to be the first one to say you're sorry. It's okay to be the first one to forgive somebody. Well, they wronged me. And that's not what the scripture says. It doesn't matter. How many times are you supposed to forgive your brother? What did Jesus say? 70 times what? Seven. Not just that number. Because some of you all probably got there and said, well, I'm on 489 and I don't have too many left. Did I do the math right? Right? 490? Okay. Somebody check my math. Did I? It's going through my head still. Okay, all right. Listen, church. We do not have the license to close the door to restoration and salvation. Jesus never gave us permission to do that. On one occasion, the disciples were so full of the Holy Ghost that they said, you know what, Lord, we're going to go to the next city and we're going to call fire from heaven to burn up that city. Sounds like a pretty bold move. And Jesus is going, no, you're not. The authority that I've given you isn't to burn up people. The authority I've given you isn't to destroy people. It's to destroy the realm of the demonic. The people aren't the enemy. The devil is. Our flesh and blood is not what? It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against what? The principalities of darkness. And the Lord has given you the authority, church, to tear down the strongholds that are holding onto somebody's life. But we don't have the authority to put a chain on them. We don't have the authority to build a wall so that there could be no restoration. I believe the Lord, church, wants to turn the hearts of daughters back to their mothers, the hearts of a husband and wife back to one another, the hearts of sons back to their fathers. I believe the Lord wants to do this, but you have to allow the Lord to work in your life. You have to humble yourself as the potter works the clay. You have to humble yourself before the Lord. Amen. There was always going to be, you know, animosity and bitterness and greed and jealousy. But I believe that when you humble yourself, that is when you let the potter form you as clay, then there is an ability that the Lord releases through your life to fix those broken cisterns, to fix those broken family lines, to fix those things that have gone on for generation after generation. Amen. How many of you know that when you became a Christian, it was because the Lord wanted to stop generational curses over your family at that moment? I can testify that in the life of, you know, family members and people, you know, something that has plagued, you know, our particular family line is divorce and all those kinds of ugly things. I mean, just, you know, over and over, and broken relationships. Stopped here. I said it stopped here. The moment I said yes to Jesus, it stopped here. And the moment that you said yes to Jesus, something that was broken in your family line is that very thing that you bow before the Lord for, and you say it stops here. The lying, the cheating, the gossiping, the things that have gone on in our family line for generation and generation, it's not something that you carry on. That's not a good legacy, by the way. It's not a good legacy to carry on the sins of your forefathers. It's not a good thing, trust me. But what the Lord is wanting you to do is the Lord is wanting to establish a covenant with you and establish His presence in a full way in your life, that it stops there. So that the key that you have, the key that you possess, is able to unlock it for somebody else. It's able to set somebody else free. It's able to release another captive, amen? And so the moment that you relinquish control, restoration begins. The heart of God is always for restoration. But in order to receive that, repentance must happen first. In order to be restored, you got to say, I was wrong. Remember I said just a moment ago, it's okay to be the first one to forgive. It's okay. This culture where we live, you're taught to be, I'm not going to say anything. They better call me first. I didn't do anything wrong. You think Jesus did anything wrong when they were nailing His hands and His feet to a cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. That's the Lord that I know. Amen. This is the word that I learned. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard and running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. And it says, for there the Lord bestows his blessing and life evermore. You know, unity is not something that our culture is witnessing right now. But unity makes life good and pleasant, is what the scripture is saying. Unity stirs God to anoint his people for service and anoint them with an overflowing and fullness of his spirit. Unity causes God to make his people fruitful as if a heavy dew from the Mount of Hermon. It fell and it produced growth in the world. Unity stirs God to shower the full blessings of his eternal life upon us and his people. John 17:11 says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world and I am coming to you. Jesus is praying here and he says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And a few verses later in John 17:20, he says, so my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. How many of you have a message? Yes, you do. And it says that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, church, we have the power to allow the enemy to rob us. But I believe the Lord would want us to understand this, to not let the devil rob you of restoration because it's robbing the world of a revelation of Jesus. See, the moment that you hold a grudge, you build a wall, you build a fence. And offenses are something that Jesus died to set us free from. In fact, we were the biggest offenders before him. The sins that you and I have committed in this world merited for us what? Eternal damnation. That's what the scripture teaches us. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, that through whoever would believeth in him, would believe on the name of Jesus, would not perish, but he would have everlasting life. And it says, and for God did not send the son to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world. The third thing, I just got a couple more minutes, that I believe when the Lord is doing these things in our life, the third thing that happens is a ministry of reconciliation. You want to know the quickest way for the world to see Jesus revealed in this time and exalted back in our nation and communities? It's through reconciliation. It's through what I said. It's through making the wrong things right. It's through forgiving others. It's asking for forgiveness for those from those that you've offended. And why is this so important? Because a divided church can never be an effective witness of a unified spirit. How many know that when you came to this room to gather here today, I believe that we all should have come to this room to gather under the name of Jesus and him alone. Amen? Not because of the sports teams that you like, or not because of our nationality, our race, our creed, our upbringing. None of those things matter. We are gathered in this room because of what? The name of Jesus. And the world has to see this church lived out. The world actually has to see this played out and lived out through your life. They have to have a seen reality of this unseen God that we preach and teach. They have to see your lives comply by what this word says. That there's forgiveness, that there's love, that there's humility, that there's reconciliation. But if they see nothing but division and nothing but backbiting and nothing but gossiping, I can give you the world's answer and they're going to say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I minister to people all the time and I have the awesome ability to tell them about Jesus and they say, you know what? Well, I like your Jesus, but I don't like your church. I like the notion of who Jesus is. I like who the scripture says Jesus to be. But the people, whoa. They don't They use that H word that everyone's familiar with, hypocrites. And the Lord Church is asking us in this season to not only be focused on the outside of the cup, but on the inside of the cup too. Amen? Amen. To wash and to purify this, to wash and have this ready to receive this King and His kingdom. Amen? And so I believe now is the time to reconcile our hearts with others so that they can be fully reconciled with God. The very purpose that Jesus died for was to reconcile our hearts back to God so that we could fully live. But when we live not asking for or forgiving others, we go back to our old dead life. Romans 11 and 15 says, for if there, that is the Israelites. It says, for if their temporary rejection released the reconciling power of grace into the world, that is for the Gentiles, that's you and me. He says, what will happen when Israel, that is the children of God, is reinstated and reconciled to God? He goes, it will unleash a resurrection power throughout the whole earth. He says, what happens when you're reconciled? What happens when you can look at your brother and sister in Christ in the eye and know that there is nothing between you? There's no sin in your heart because it's not how you dressed and how you came to church. That's the outside of the cup. Jesus is more concerned with the inside of the cup. Right here. So he's saying it's not about how you appear in church. It's not about if you're able to sing the songs. And it's not about if you're able to, you know, do that Christian thing that everyone is so familiar with that you do because on Sunday you post the verse. But he's saying it's the inside of the cup that matters. You reconciling and forgiving of others has the power to release resurrection power back into this world. Right now, church, people are dying by the second, and we cannot waste any more time by denying them our forgiveness. I said it before, but Jesus Christ forgave us. He was bruised for us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, He died in our place. And He took the full punishment of sin in His body so that we could be what? Reconciled back to God. And we must die, church, to our desire to hold on to grudges. And forgiveness kept Christ nailed to the cross. And forgiveness will keep the church nailed to Christ until He returns. You see, there are supposed to be some specific marks in your life about who you are called to be. And it's supposed to resemble this Savior, Jesus. Peter was challenged on that night before Jesus was taken into captivity. And the Bible says that Jesus spoke to him. And He says, listen, Peter, you know how many of you have ever uttered something real bold before God? Anybody ever made a promise that you didn't keep? And Peter uttered one of those promises. He said, Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll go with you to the grave. I'm never going to deny you. I'm going to go with you forever, Jesus. I'm never going to fail you. And Jesus, knowing his heart, said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. He says, but after that, I want you to turn back and I want you to restore your brothers. See, the beauty of Jesus is this, is that even though He knows that you will fail Him, even though He knows, church, that we fall short of His glory, even though He knows, church, that you will make a mistake right now, you could make a mistake 10 minutes from now, He's always willing to restore you so that you can go back and restore your brothers. He's always willing to change your life, to completely reshape your life and cut off those dead branches that produce nothing for Him. He's always willing, church. But sometimes we get in the way of allowing that for somebody else. Sometimes we get in the way. We're the one that doesn't want to forgive when Jesus forgave us. We're the one that wants to hold on to offense when the Bible says that He has separated our sins as far as the east is to the west. The world needs people that are absolutely marked with the power of God. What happened in that moment for Peter was he went, and the first thing that he did was he encountered a group of people. And they said, hey, you look like that guy. Haven't we seen you with Jesus? No, that's not me. Nope. No, sorry. I'm that. No, Yeah, I'm pretty sure we saw you with him. No, it wasn't me. And Peter fled to another place, and then he encountered another group of people. Maybe like a Christian going into a club or somewhere where they don't belong. And they said, hey, you know, don't you go to church? Peter, don't you go to church? Weren't you hanging out with the Jesus guy? I'm pretty sure we saw you with him. In fact, I remember, weren't you one of the guys passing out the loaves and fish? No. I'm sorry, that wasn't me. No, it wasn't me. Then he encounters a third group of people, and they're saying, we know it was you, man. We know you've been with Jesus. And he denied him a third time. Church, the world knows if you've been with Jesus or not. There's no point in denying him. But pride denies. Unwillingness to forgive denies. Harboring bitterness and offense denies. And the beauty about this story of Peter was this. Was that he knew he crushed the heart of God. He knew that he didn't please Jesus. And I know that you know when you've failed God. I know that you know when you've hurt God because of something you thought, something you said, something you did. But listen, church. The enemy is the one that condemns. The enemy is the one that tempts. The enemy is the one that wants to keep you locked in that prison of offense. But how many of you know that Jesus died to set us free? That Jesus died to set us free. And no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter how many times you may have denied Jesus or misrepresented him in front of the people of this world, you can be reconciled today. Your heart can be reconciled in this moment. And I believe, church, now is the time for a global awakening of the saints of God. Now is the time for the church to arise and take their place. Now is the time for the people of God to actually come forth. Because it would be Peter on the day of Pentecost that would stand up, church, and deliver a message to thousands of people. The very one that had denied him publicly three times. The restoration power of God, church, has the ability to restore anybody and put them in a public forum, in a public place, so that they can be used by God, church, so that the Spirit of a living God can flow through their life. And it would be Peter, church, that would stand up before thousands of men and women, thousands, church, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that thousands were added to their number on that day. You see, it does not matter, church, if you have denied him. All that matters is that you come back. All that matters is that you bow your knee and that you repent and that you say, Jesus, I still need you. Even if yesterday was bad, even if I failed you yesterday, God, even if I made the biggest mistake, Lord, I come back to you. Because he wants to release power from your life. Oh, man. I said he wants to release power from your life. You have the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. I said you've got the message of Jesus Christ. You have the life-saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't deny him anymore. Stand to your feet this morning, church. Do not deny or grieve the Holy Spirit anymore. I want us to pray. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room. With every hand lifted in this place. Father, right now in this moment, God, we forgive others, God. We forgive those, Lord, that we may have offended or that they have offended us. Father, we just remove, Father God, Your word says, Father God, why would we, Lord, complain about the speck in someone else's eye when we have a log in our own? And Father, you're looking for people, Father, to be restored back to you. And Father, this starts with the restoration of your people. This starts with the restoration of the church. Because God, you said in your word, God, that you cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. You cannot pour something new, God, into something that's broken. And so, Father God, we place our hearts, Lord, on the altar, Lord, Father God, of that potter's wheel today, God. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would form us once again, God. You would break down the things in our lives, God, that are not pleasing to you, Father. And Father, you would rebuild us, God. Father, if somehow we, Lord, failed you, God, and we began to build our life, Lord, on sand, God. If we began to build our life around things like our jobs, God, or our family, or our status, God, or things, Lord, that Lord, were inferior to you, then, God, we, Lord, repent. And we come back, Lord, and we place ourselves on the rock of Jesus. And so right now, Lord Jesus, I want you to just spend some time with the Lord right now. I want you to just pray. You know what's in your heart and you know what's in your life this morning. If you're watching online, just bow your head, just begin to pray. And just begin to ask the Lord to just purge those things, that those chains that may have held you down from releasing this beautiful kingdom to this world. Come on, church, lift your voice. It's your time. It's you and the Lord. Purify our hearts, Jesus. Purify our hearts, Jesus. Purify our hearts, Lord. Purify our hearts, Jesus. Purify our hearts, Lord, where your kingdom becomes everything to us. Where your kingdom, God, becomes everything to us, Lord. Purify our hearts in such a way, Lord. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for the return, Lord, of your coming, Father. Prepare our hearts, Lord Jesus, from this moment, Father God, to be people, Lord, that are not just hearers of the word, God, but are doers as well. You told your disciples, Father God, that, Lord, that they would go into every village and every city, God, and that they would carry this message that the kingdom of heaven was near. And that, God, they would cast out demons, Father God. Lord, that they would heal the sick, Father God, and they would raise the dead, Father. They would trample on scorpions and serpents, Father God. You see, these are the works of a child of God. These are the works of those, Lord, that follow you and that believe in you. That is, Lord, that wherever they go, Father God, they release, Lord Jesus, this unseen power that is living inside of their hearts in a seen way. That we would be those, Father God, that would pray for the sick, God, and watch them recover. But Father, let us not be lazy in our faith, God, and deny you in such a way that we're denying someone else of their miracle. Holy Spirit, if you tell us to pray for someone, God, then we will respond, Father, to pray for them. Holy Spirit, if you have called us, Father God, to give to somebody, Father God, let us not hoard for ourselves, Father God, but let us know that your word, Father God, says that, Father God, you will not only bless them, but you will bless us abundantly as well. You said in your word, Father God, for what is it good for those, Lord, that love those that can love them back? But Father, may we be a people, Father, that continue to do your work in this world, Father, not because of acknowledgement, Father, but because, Lord, your word says to let our light shine before all men, that they may see our good deeds and that they may praise our Father in heaven. So right now, I have to make this invitation. If there is someone in this place this morning that has never said yes to the life-saving, life-transforming power of Jesus, you've never received him in your heart, then my friend, I need to give you fair warning that you are not ready to receive eternity. And so if there is someone in here that wants to receive Jesus in the heart so that their heart can be ready to receive eternity, I'm going to ask that you would slip up your hand to heaven. Is there anyone that needs Jesus today? Father, we thank you, Lord, right now. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, I pray, Lord, today that with the confession of our mouths, Lord, and belief and faith in our hearts, God, we would trust and know, Lord, that God raised you from the dead for our sins. and that, Father God, we would all be saved. And so, Father, then I take it a step further. And Lord, I ask today, Father, that your people, God, would have prepared hearts, ready to receive you, ready to work for you. Just like the bridegroom prepares themselves for the return of the bride, so Jesus, we prepare our hearts before you today. We let go of the things that entangle us. We let go, Father God, of the sins, Lord, that try to yank us away from you, Lord. And we cling to you, Jesus. We cling to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We love you. We bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Would somebody give the Lord a praise this morning? There's work to be done, church. Amen. I said there's work to be done. There's souls to be saved. Jesus said this. He said the fields are ripe with harvest. Now's the time to be a soul winner. Amen. Not a soul denier. Be a soul winner. You want to know how you can win souls right now? You love people into the kingdom. That means if they disagree with you and certain things and stuff that's really menial and doesn't really matter, that doesn't matter. You still love them into the kingdom because that's exactly how the King loved us. Amen? We love you, church. I have just one quick announcement for you. On October 25th at 10:30 a.m., we're going to be having our district superintendent, that is Pastor Tim Barker. He's going to be coming to our church to minister the word, and so we're excited about that. And he's actually coming because on that day, we're also taking the time to honor our pastor, amen? And so every October around the third or fourth week, we celebrate Pastor Appreciation Day. And so I just want you to know, first and foremost, that Pastor appreciates you. He appreciates your prayers. He appreciates just your encouragement every single day. And I would ask, church, that you would continue praying for him. Amen. Just continue asking the Lord to strengthen his body, heal his life, and touch him with the divine power of heaven. Amen. How many of you will commit to that? Amen. Church, we love you. We thank God for you. If you were joining us for the first time today, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. We just want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And you are absolutely welcome to make Rock of Ages your house of worship. Amen. As we always do, why don't we just pray before we dismiss? We love you, Jesus. How many of you love Jesus? Just tell him this morning. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you, God, for your spirit in this room, Lord. Father, do in us, Lord, what we could never do on our own, Lord. And prepare us, Father, for your return, Lord. We love you. And we thank you for these things, Father. I pray, Lord, a hedge of protection, God, a safety, Lord, around your people, God, as they go back to their homes, their workplaces throughout the week, Lord Jesus. Be with them, Father God. Encourage them, Holy Spirit. Lord, give them, Father God, a tenacity, a zeal, Father, for your word, Lord, to just open it, Father God, and to spend time in prayer, God, knowing, Lord, that you desire to speak to us, Lord. And so we thank you for these things, Jesus. I also pray, Father God, Lord, on Tuesday, God, that even if we can't gather, Lord, for prayer, God, we would spend time that day that we've set aside to just pray for the needs of God's people in his church. We have our prayer service Tuesdays at 6:30, so just pray for that. Every Wednesday, Lord, I pray that your people would be encouraged, God, excited, Father, to tune in, Lord. We just bless Brother Orlando Noella, Father God, for the word that he brings, God, and just, Lord, allow your people, God, to continue, Lord, being fed and discipled in your word, Father. We thank you for these things, Jesus. Take us from this place, but never from your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.